With the Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woo-hooer, a hand clapper, a high-fiver? I kind of like the high-five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At ChumbaCasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino-style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses, so don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void or prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Edo, No Chof Des podcast. Here we go. It's a review of the 3-0 win against Loxa. 3 and easy. And we were at the top of the league, albeit briefly. My co-host as ever, Roy No Chof Des. I love the way you change your name now.
Huh? Yeah, Roy No Chof Des, man. No Chof Des, man. Yeah, I mean, the game yesterday was, not as easy as it seemed. This is a strange game because, the beginning, let's say like the first 15 minutes, I don't know if I can find the right word to describe how we approached the game. Was it cautious? Was it patient? Was it conservative? But the first, let's say, quarter of an hour, it seemed like an evenly shared game. Like the possession was shared evenly. Midfield, we were cancelling each other out. And in fairness, Docks has a good team and we're playing away. We had some trouble at home. But, after the first 15 minutes, when Kusulo and Jordi started warming up and we started winning the midfield battle, and Loizo and Asante started becoming a little bit more assertive, obviously the ball reached to them, we became... We were threatening them a lot. And, the Moxade player in the left wing, it was his first game. And he got substituted at the 35th minute because obviously by that time, Asante Ernest, he just, had the line on lock, like the thing on lock. We were creating chance after chance. But, we just scored one goal. And obviously, like we said, and we're going to say, a lot of more times, when it's just one goal difference, a lapse of concentration or a mistake or whatever can happen. So it was a bit unfair to end the first half with just one goal difference because it could have been 2 or 3 first half. Second half, again, the first 10, 12, 15 minutes seemed like a repetition of the first half. Voxa had their only chance, which, Fabiano saved, great save, ready at all times. And then Fordis came on and he scored an early goal. Then we got the penalty. We hit the post with Ležak. So all in all, I think it was, a No Chof Des win, man. It was a no-nonsense win.
Precisely.
We came on and we're like, we're not fucking about, guys, We've lost a lot of points against teams of that caliber. And, we're not fucking about this time around. This is like a very general and, epidemic way of looking at the game. You know, I don't know what your thoughts are. You want to share your thoughts?
Well, see, this is it. I mean, the first, as you said, the first 10, 15 minutes, it was a bit of a cagey game. But I think we showed Voxa a lot of respect in the opening 10, 15 minutes because they are where they are because they deserve to be there. You know, they've had some very good victories this season. And again,
they deserve the respect. Yeah,
exactly. And we can't go into some of these games with, you know, in second gear, then switch to third gear and then fourth, you know, in the space of a second. You got to feel it. It's like a boxing match. You got to feel each other out. You got to spar for a bit. And I think that's what we were doing. We were sparring. But as the game grew, we were playing better. We were moving the ball quicker, moving the ball into the channels, moving the ball into key areas, which we hurt them. And this is what I say time and time again. When you're playing against Omonia, if you try and play football against Omonia, more often than not, you're going to get punished. And credit to Doxa. Listen, I'm not even being patronizing. Credit to them for trying to play football, for giving it a go. Because let's be honest, we do have our weaknesses. We saw last week against Olympiacos our weaknesses. And they'll probably think, okay, well, they're a little bit out of form. They might be a little bit tired. Let's give them a game. And credit to them for trying to do it, because I'm sick and tired of seeing teams at home playing 10 men behind the ball. You know, granted, it's a game about winning and getting points and on one of the best teams. So of course, a point at home is fantastic. Yeah. But I've got more respect for teams that want to come and play football. And they did, and we battered them. Okay. All right. It was a game where we missed a few chances. I could see Ernest getting quite frustrated because... Yeah. He missed a couple of chances. He hit the outside of the post. So I think the goal that Shepherd scored, I think Ernest shot. That's what I think. It looked like a shot to me. I'm not going to lie.
Know, I was gonna say the same thing. I watched the replay a couple of times just to make sure. And then I was like, you know what? I'm not going to say that, man. I think maybe he tried to pass. The first impression was I thought he was trying to take a shot, but then...
Because this is what we said last week against Olympiacos, where you always put it across the goalkeeper. Yeah. And you can see he put his foot through it to shoot. But, okay, listen, I'm not complaining. Shepa got on the end of it and he scored and he almost missed as well. Give me a Shepovich if you're watching. You almost missed. But listen, he went in and that's the main thing. But having said that, though, in all fairness to Ernest, right, again, he was trying, man. He was trying. And what I love about him the most is that he doesn't let his head drop. He just carries on. Okay, I missed a chance. I'll try again. I'll try again. I'll try again. And this is what you need. When you've got players that give up after the first or second miss, there's no point. But he carried on and he carried on. And that again, that, I think that's the mental strength that we need. That's the mental strength that reverberates across the rest of the team.
It's easy to say, you know, at the end of the first half, you know, it was easy to say that Ernest was the MVP the first 45 minutes because, you know, obviously the assist and all the chances. But I want to talk about Loizo as well. Loizo was amazing as well. Another great performance. You know, he's 17 years old. You know, he at the time when we needed, he pushed a little bit back. He played like an experienced player, you know, and... you know, what made me, what I liked most about him was at the end of the game when they interviewed him and he seemed again humble and he gave all the credit to his teammates and he said, you know, I'm trying hard and I've got my head down and I'm humble and, you know, I'm glad to help the team and if it wasn't for my teammates, you know, he didn't take it, you know, at a personal level that it's very easy to do at this age, you know. Mm. And, you know, the first goal he passed to Ernest. And that was a lot more difficult what Loizo did than, you know, when Ernest passed to Chepa. And Loizos and Ernest deserved to... They caused all anything threatening we used to do was because of Loizo and Ernest. Obviously, Berg said that if it wasn't for the rest of the team, they couldn't have been as... effective as they were, but you know, all in all, I think they had an excellent first half, and they were really decisive.
Joe, I think they complement each other in a very big way. And by that, I mean, when you look at, you know, Loizzo playing wide right, he's not very effective because effectively all he wants to do is bring the ball in on his left foot. Yeah. And when you're doing that, you're kind of making things a bit more difficult for your front men because it's asking your front men to basically occupy wide areas. So while you're moving inside, they're having to pull out wide. But when I see Loizzo playing in the hole as a number 10, I feel more comfortable and more confident when he's in the team in that position because I know that he can draw defenders out of position. He could draw a central defender out of position and let Ernest play off the other defender's shoulder. He creates space. And that's effectively what one of the main problems that we've had this season, especially in the final third. We've played against teams that are very compact, play very narrow, and it's very difficult to create those pockets of spaces where our front men can occupy. But when you've got someone like Loizzo there in the team, even Johnny's, when he makes those diagonal runs, you're pulling defenders out of position. But then it's down to the front men to make those intelligent runs. And we saw that against Loxa with Ernest, playing off the central defender's shoulder and in between the central defender and the fullback. He's saying, fine, I will occupy that space, but feed me, play me through. And more often than not, those balls in between the two defenders were spot on. Okay, the finishing wasn't great. And I'll reiterate, I still think he shot for the first goal. But what he did right, which is another thing that I will say about perhaps players in wide areas, when they receive the ball in wide areas, there's always this weird kind of, I don't know if it's a fetish or something that they like doing, cross it high, looking for the tall guy. Well, more often than not, if you drill the ball hard and low across the 6-yard box, all it will take is a touch. It could be from a defender. It goes in.
Dangerous.
We don't see that often enough. And I think we need to see that more because, don't get me wrong, Shepherd looks good in the air. And more often than not, he might get his head on the end of it. I like to see balls drilled across the face of the goal. Because you're asking questions of the defenders and the goalkeeper. I don't know. What do you think?
Yeah, absolutely. I agree with you. What you said, if there's one thing I like to add is that, you know, when Loizzo plays on the wing and even Babu Lis, they're not as effective. I'd like to see them play as a number 10, like you said earlier, because it's not just that. Physically, I think when you're playing on the wing, you need a lot more strength to help your right or left back. But when you're playing as a number 10, you know, and then pushing on the flanks or like pushing on the sides and then moving on, it's a lot more easier to set the pace. But when you have to run back, like the game with Olympiacos, we didn't mention that last week. Loizzo and Babu Lis got tired really easily because they were playing on the flanks and they had to run back. And one more thing we didn't touch last time and we played yesterday is that we played we had a change of formation. It's like more 4-4-2, maybe not like a classic 4-4-2 because of the size of the players as well, because it was Chepa in the box. But you know, we're trying to approach these games with a different tactic, tactically different as well, to be try and be a bit more assertive. But yeah, I think that yesterday it worked, but we have to bear in mind that Guslo was playing instead of Vitor, and that made a lot of difference because physically we dominated. Obviously, Loxa doesn't have the physical players like Olympiacos had. And that helps us win the battle of the midfield. And when you win the battle of the midfield, more sure than not, more times than not, you're closer to getting the victory. Because, you know, it's the midfield battle is like the brain. You're brain dead. If you lose the midfield, you're like brain dead. So you might be good defending, or you might be okay attacking, but if the midfield is not working, then the ball won't reach the attackers, you know. So it's the midfield for me yesterday was the battle we won, and that's what changed the game. And Jordi was again back to what we're used to him, what we're used to him, like seeing from him. He put in his experience, his skill, obviously. Fortis came on second half and, you know, he finished them off, the experience. But, yeah, all in all, I think, you know, it was, like I said earlier, it was a no-nonsense. I mean, we can talk a little bit more, but, you know, there's no point. It was a... We went into the game. We wanted to win the game. We won it. It could have, the score could have been 4-5-6, you know. But at the end of the day, it was very important that we won. You know, 3 points in the bag, momentarily top of the league. And we were up until 1 minute before the Abolon game ended when they equalized. So we would have been first on goal difference. Now we're 1 point behind. But still, you know, it was a very good performance. Really happy with the performance. Solid. And there's not much that I can say. You know, I don't wanna be critical. You know, but
well, there's not, I don't think there's anything to be critical about, Phil. And the thing is, what I was really pleased about yesterday was the tempo of our football. It wasn't just one touch passing, but the movement was then. If you look at the second goal, which was a Foddy's header, yeah. When Jordi gets the ball from the free kick, he takes a quick free kick. Yeah. But while he takes, just before he takes that free kick, Lesiak is calling for the ball. So yeah. He's really thought 2 steps ahead. Now, yeah. When you look at the goal again, you look at the defenders, they're all watching the ball. They're not looking at the man. And yeah. Even when Lesiak gets the ball to whip it across the goal, Foddy has practically got enough time to make a café and still get in behind, get in front of the central defender and get his head on the ball. And I think, again, that's another thing that I stress so highly ever since I've started doing these podcasts, that while the standard of defending in Cyprus has improved, the fundamentals are still, they're still getting them wrong. So be it ball watching, I see a lot of defenders in the league do that. Other teams, yeah. Ball watching, just looking at the ball, not looking at the man. And it goes back to what I said about Foddy's goal. From Jordi getting the ball from a free kick, they're not set up properly. They're not looking at Lesiak. Lesiak is obviously our main threat from the wide area. They're not picking him up. When the ball goes over the top, the fullback is still looking at the ball. He notices Lesiak too late. And again, when Foddy makes that run into the box, that ghost run, the central defender is too busy looking at the ball. He's not even looking at where the striker is. So
this is a fox, man. Foddy's is a fox.
It's the experience. But this is why we need players like him in the squad. You know, when we signed him, I thought, did we sign him to keep up with the homegrown quota, the Cypriot player quota? But obviously he's been signed because he brings that added experience to the squad. So when you're looking at the likes of Loizu that's growing up, that's giving these interviews saying, you know, this is a team effort. When you're seeing the likes of Johnny's, who, all right, he hasn't played much recently, but I think it's a good thing because we don't want him to burn out.
Yeah.
When you've got someone with the experience that's played in this league, and look, you know, Costa Giasso is a good friend of mine and he knows Foddy. He's known him for years.
I think they might have played in Ofi as well.
Bravo.
Career. Bravo. Yeah.
So he says to me, you know, Foddy has made a huge difference on and off the pitch.
Yeah.
Because he is a talker. He does offer his help to the youngsters and everyone else. And, you know, he had a difficult start to the season. He came with an injury and he had a good game against Cortina FC and he got cramp and whatnot. But he's grown into the squad. And, you know, we need players like him. We need players like Jordi, obviously. And we need the experienced heads to give us that extra push. And I know I've been going on too much and I haven't really been speaking about the tempo, which is what I was originally discussing, but, you know, it's great to see that the ball being moved quicker. We didn't do that against Olympiacos. And again, I've got no complaints, just like you, no complaints whatsoever. And I don't think anyone should have complaints about the victory. You know, we kept the clean sheet again.
Yeah.
So, happy as Larry. Like a pig in shit at the moment, isn't there?
Let's see. Shiro Mestaskada.
Yeah, so who was your man of the match then?
Like I mentioned earlier, you know, the first half it was between Loizo and Ernest. I think maybe Ernest deserved to be you know, the MVP of the first half. Obviously, the second half, Fordis came on and he made the difference with the two goals, with his experience, with his placement. But like I mentioned a couple of weeks ago, I think it was with Paralimni, I like it when I have to choose between two, three or four players, because that means, I mean, I thought something we didn't mention, Lufner, he had Sandik against him. Hey, he put him in his pocket, man. Sandik.
I'm gonna do another video. What's it called? Photoshop. So there's another player he's got in his pocket, yeah?
Efile,
he's running out of pockets.
That player had 11 goals, you know, and he just, you know, it seemed like he was playing against like a 15-year-old kid, you know. Sandik got so frustrated. He couldn't do anything, man. He couldn't do anything. So for me, Lufner was amazing at the back. Fabian obviously had the save, which was very important and could have changed the history of the game if that shot went in. And Fodis and Loizo and Asante, but you know, it doesn't really matter to me who the MVP was. It just, you know, for me, it was a solid performance. All the players played at a very good tempo, a very good standard. They were patient. They had a no-nonsense sort of approach to the game. They didn't let Doxa at any point, because with Olympiacos last week, we said, okay, the first 20 minutes were aggressive. We tried to score an early goal. But after the 20th minute, we made them believe that they can get something out of the game. Yesterday, Doxa, there's no point that they believed, you know, that they can get something out of the game. And this is what I expect when we play against teams of that caliber, you know, because we've already missed, like, we've dropped 16 points to teams like Olympiacos, Paphos, Salamina, Doxa, Hermes, Paralimni, and
yeah, but don't forget that was at a very difficult stage of the season for us. A lot was happening there, man. And listen, I will say this till I'm blue in the face: the Europa League, as great of an adventure it was, it played its part, man. It took its toll. Like, it took its toll when, you know, these things happen. But you know, again, and I think we spoke about this a couple of weeks ago. Yeah. If it wasn't for the Europa League, we'd be clear by now. We'd be clear. It's that simple, man.
Most probably, yes.
Come on, man. Definitely. If this Europa League campaign, while it's taught us lessons, the players' lessons, especially the younger ones, it's taught them lessons about fatigue, about stamina, about tactics. So it's taught them a lot. The experience in general. I still believe that if it wasn't for the Europa League, we'd be clear by now. You know, I'm not complaining though. Don't get me wrong, because.
Neither am I.
I'm not complaining, because people are going to be watching and thinking, you know, Haristos, whatever. You know what I mean? Like, you're ungrateful. No, it's not. It's just that it's fact. It's a fact. That being said, you're right. We've dropped points this season. We've dropped points at places that perhaps you wouldn't expect us to drop points. But it goes back to what I said yesterday. We won our game. The onus was on Abollon today to win. They didn't. They needed a 7th-minute injury time equaliser. It was more like play until Abollon score, right? But they had the one job to do to win, and they didn't. And this is what I'm saying about pressure. And I said it in my Instagram video. There are Grabiedes now. They're breaking. They're crumbling. Grabiedes, right? And this is what it's going to be like. So if we win on Tuesday, which I'm kind of expecting, when are the other lot playing again?
I'm not sure.
But they're probably playing the next day, because they won't be playing the same day, will they?
No, they're not. But yeah.
Yeah, so we win that. We go 2 points clear at the top, and then it's back to them again, isn't it?
Yeah.
That's what I'm talking about, man.
But, you know, it's what we're saying, that we should take advantage of the... You know, you got Salamina, and then you got Hermes, and then you got Abuel. So you should get at least 7 points out of these games, so you can step into the
They've got AEK on Tuesday.
And there's Apollo Nael as well. So, yeah.
Yeah, Apollo have got AEK. Yeah, they've got AEK on Tuesday.
Yeah. So, okay. I mean, like I said, I'm not complaining. This is a league where all the teams lose points. There's a lot of teams in the top four, you know, it's very tight. So, okay. I mean, and what you said about the European games, maybe it's cost us with teams of a lower caliber, like it did, but I think it also helped us win the derbies as well.
100%. 100%. So
the mentality and the approach to these games, which, you know, Omonia was struggling in you know, the past years, playing in Europe in that level helped us win. So, yeah, on the one hand, maybe we had a difficulty of adapting in a different style of play with teams that played us very defensively with a lot of men behind the ball, like 10 men behind the ball and all of that. But on the other hand, I think it helped us beat teams like AEL and Anorthosis and Apollon and Abuel. You know, if it wasn't for the European games, maybe, okay, so maybe we would have lost points there and won the other games. But, you know, all in all, we're not complaining. And going back to the game, 3 points, a win that, you know, no-nonsense win one more time. We didn't let Doxa even consider the fact that they can get something out of the game. And we're continuing. We've got the game with Salamina. Obviously, they lost the game today, so I'm expecting them to be a little bit more, you know, dangerous, because it's always a little bit more dangerous when a team comes after a loss. But, you know, we have to be physically and mentally prepared to get the 3 points and take advantage of the games that are going to be played with the other title contenders. So maybe, hopefully, next week we're going to be top of the league and stay there, you know? And so that's the thing, man. Then I think, yeah. Do you have anything to add?
Yeah, there's just one more thing, actually, which we didn't really discuss. In fact, we did. We discussed transfers, but obviously last week, there was the last few days of the transfer window. Now it's done.
Yeah.
We signed the Kasper Choracka,
yeah,
goalkeeper from the Wisla Krakow.
Yeah,
I don't know too much about him, to be honest. I'm not going to lie. I'm not going to pretend I know. I've tried to do some digging, but again, people that I know, Polish football experts, they're still like, who? But we've seen a lot of quality goalkeepers come out of Poland, so hopefully he'll come good. But the thing is, I'm interested to see where he's going to fit in, because, you know, we spoke about the goalkeepers last week, and there's this big rumour about AEK Athens being interested in Fabiano. But we knew that was always going to happen. Yeah. The teams were going to
eventually it was going to happen, whether it was AEK or any other team. Yeah,
of course. I don't think Choracka is going to be number one next season. I'll be very surprised if he's in, even at the school. See, I think he'll be loaned out personally. I think he'll go out on loan to get some experience.
But it's a year and a half. I think his contract's for a year and a half.
Is he? All right.
I think it's till the end of this season and the next. So,
wow, okay, that's interesting.
So, yeah, okay. Like I mentioned last time, I think Kyriakides is not ready. So I don't think Kyriakides is going to have any first-team football till the end of the season. So it's up to Constantino Panayi. And so it's obviously Fabiano Panayi. And then the Polish keeper comes in, you know, the rank third, I think. I did mention something about, you know, the necessity of having another keeper, because it would have been unfair if, God forbid, something happened to Fabiano, if Costandino came on. Obviously, okay, he's waiting for his chance as well. But, you know, a goalkeeper, when he's not been in full fitness and he's suffered so many injuries, and in 2 years he's had like 3 or 4, you know, appearances, and as we're getting at the end of the season, the pressure is on. So any mistake, like we said, you know, the weight on his shoulder is going to be a lot. But, you know, you are going to have the balls, like you say a lot of times. But, yeah, I expected maybe a keeper a little bit more experience, because when we spoke with Sofiane earlier and we were talking about De Guigny and the dependence some other teams have, some players like Vili Dalia or De Guigny or Sandik, we have a dependence on Fabiano, I think, more than any other player in the pitch. Like, if Omonia without Fabiano is a completely different team. And let's just hope and wish that, you know, he stays fit and he's in top form for another, you know, 13, 14 games, because he's vital. For me, he's the MVP of the season this far, man, Fabiano, all levels in Europe and in the Super League.
He's been brilliant. He's been absolutely brilliant.
He's phenomenal.
You know, and yeah. You know, I was a bit when we signed him, I was thinking he was at Fenerbahce, didn't really do too much at Porto. Well, I wasn't too sure about him, but hey, listen, you know, he's been absolutely phenomenal this season. But I think we need to face facts that one day he's going to go, and if he is to go in the summer, I don't know who we can replace him with. No, well, I do know who we can replace him with. I'm not sure if I'm allowed to say so, but. I know who he is. Okay. There's someone that I know wouldn't mind. In fact, I think he would like to come to the club. And he has he hasn't played for his national team, but he's been called up to squads. He's not first choice at his club at the moment. He's actually on loan to another club in the domestic league. And I'm pretty sure that Henningberg knows him. But yeah, and I'll tell you his name afterwards, but I'm not going to do it right now. But yeah.
Is that your personal opinion, or is something you know?
It's my personal opinion. Okay. It's my personal opinion. I know that he would love to come to Omonia. I know he would. Okay. Because I've spoken to him. But, you know, yeah, I think this guy that I'm going to mention to you after I've stopped recording, I think he'd be the perfect... the perfect replacement for Fabiano. You know, okay, fair enough. He's not as tall as Fabiano, and I think his shot stopping is probably at the same level, but I think his distribution is better. I think his kicking is better. But hey, listen, I'm just
don't forget that Fabiano's got another couple of years contract with Omonia, so. You know, whichever team is interested, they're going to
How old is he now, Roy? How old is he now?
He's 32, man.
32, yeah? So he's still young for a goalkeeper.
Yeah. And, you know, whoever wants to come in, he's going to have to pay a hefty fee, man. Cause
you're probably looking at about 2-3 million, right? If not more.
I don't think so, man.
No?
Not in Cyprus, not Omonia at this stage.
And I don't know. For a goalkeeper that's done well in the Europa League... 2 million? Does that sound unreasonable? If Zalai went for 2 million, come on, what is Fabiano going to go for?
I wasn't even thinking millions, man. I was thinking more in thousands, but
man, come on.
Even like a half a million or 600 or 700,000 for a goalkeeper that plays in the Cypriot League, man. But I don't know, and especially if we're talking about Ike's not got the money, man. Ike's not going to, like, because even, like, reporters close to Ike said that, you know, maybe Fabiano would have been a good choice for Ike in the January window. But, you know, in the summer, there's going to be a lot of other goalkeepers we can, you know, there's a bigger pool of goalkeepers we can find. So, you know, okay. So Fabiano's also at an age where, okay, he still has a few years of goalkeeping, but maybe he can, you know, decide that, you know, I'm good at Omonia, I'm playing European level, I'm getting paid, I enjoy my life in Cyprus.
He's got his aloha, hasn't he? He's got his aloha.
Yeah, she's aloha, yeah. And he's enjoying his time, so... You know, maybe if he's not, you know, ambitious in the sense that, you know, he wants another shot in his career for something better, maybe, you know, he's content at playing at this level and he's playing European games and he's getting paid, you know, on time. and he's in an environment where he's satisfied and he's happy. So I don't know. We're gonna have to wait and see. But okay, it's always good to keep our eyes open because a good team always starts from a good keeper. And Omonia suffered in that position for many years. Maybe not necessarily because the keepers we had weren't as good, but it was just the defensive mentality was so poor that, you know, at the end of the day, the keeper always pays for the mistakes that, you know, the rest of the team, because this is the last line. So it's always you're going to point your finger at the keeper. And, you know, Fabiano has been amazing. And I'm not going to lie, at the beginning of the season, I was gutted to see Uzoho go, because I thought that Francis was very good. And maybe some people are not going to be very happy about what I'm saying. But, you know, I thought that if I had to push my money on someone, I would have put my money on Uzoho.
The thing is, you can see now, with the greatest respect to him, you can see now why the club didn't take that gamble on him, because of his injury problems. That knee injury that he got has effectively fucked him big time, man.
I do stand corrected. Like even what you said, you know, his CV wasn't very impressive at the beginning. But for me now, I mean, in my mind, he's the best keeper in the island for sure. And one of the best in Omonia's history. And one of the best that ever played the position in Cyprus. Because there have been some very good goalkeepers. And even this year, what makes Fabiano even... you know, what makes the fact that Fabiano is the best keeper of the island even more important is that this year we have some very good goalkeepers, in like even the keeper of Doxa, and there's Moll, and there's Dimitriou, and there's the guy in Paphos, the Ukrainian, I think. There's some very good goalkeepers, and there's, you know, some... players like what's his name, Salamina's keeper, Veselovsky, and even Achna. I mean, teams that have conceded goals, they have good goalkeepers. But to see, you know, Fabiano is better. Loria of Anorthos is a very good goalkeeper. But you know, I think Fabiano is a...
I don't rate that Vozinha though. I think he's terrible.
You think so?
I think he's terrible, man. Terrible is a bit harsh.
Terrible.
Nah, man, he's terrible. Like, he's one of these goalkeepers where he wants to be an outfield player. You know, he wants to be an outfield player. I don't rate him personally. But again, you know, my favorite ever goalkeeper is Peter Schmeichel, so I'm putting up levels here. You know,
that's it.
There you go.
Okay, so I think we've got the game covered, and we had a bit of a chat about the goalkeeper. So let's keep it short and sweet this time. So
Bomba. There you go. We've done it. I think we've done it in less than 45 minutes.
Okay. So, bravo.
Congratulations. Right there. Right. One more thing. Instagram. What's your Instagram?
It's Roy Nochoff. It's my new Instagram. Please follow my new Instagram account. It's Roy Nochoff. And show us some love. Show us some support. You know, and my boy at Chesto, you know, and the OLB channel, please subscribe. You know, it's something new to us, and all the support is more than welcome, and we appreciate your love and support.
Absolutely. We have 199 subscribers. We need one more for 200.
One more for 200.
The thing is, I think we need to do a competition sometime soon. What do you reckon?
Yeah, why not, man?
And competition.
Maybe a few surprises as something we can talk about, you know.
Absolutely. So I think that's next on the agenda. We're going to think of a competition to run for the subscribers, because the only way they're going to find out about the competition is by subscribing and watching the videos, isn't it?
That's it.
There you go. We'll do a competition. And we'll think of shall we do like a question? Shall we do, I don't know, how shall we do it?
We'll decide. Yeah. You and I will decide after the cameras are off.
Okay, no problem, no problem. That's all right. Well, that's it.
We'll leave them on a cliffhanger.
Yeah, hanging on for dear life, Edo. Right. Right. So yeah, at Roy No Chofters, at Shay Stell, follow the OLB. Also the Omonia Troll. I love that bloody account.
Yeah, those guys are good, man. Can I do my Omonia Troll?
There you go. And the Omonia Football Town. Our thumbnail is absolutely fantastic. And that's it. Yeah. So hit that subscribe button, like, tell your nunna. Until next time, Roy, go and say it.
Ete Omonia Shilaka Pamen. Omonia Laos Prodaflima.
Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered ChumbaCasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby. Mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa. Take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to ChumbaCasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Ch-ch-chumba. ChumbaCasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.